help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We will talk about gardening. I'm going to get into fall kinds of things, fall color specifically a little bit. I want to talk about today. We're getting to that time of the year. I've got a little trip I want to take. I may tell you a little about that and see if anybody out there has any tips. If you want to talk about planting in any way, fall planting and fall color, getting ready for winter. I'm getting prepared for all that kind of stuff that's coming up. Anything you want to talk about is fine. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. Landscape projects, great time. Fall is a great time to be doing new construction and installation. We've just finished one at our place, and it's in the members area right now of dirtdoctor.com. Those of you that are members can go see the new grass project. We did a kind of an experimental grass project using two different kinds of grasses that I've not grown before and wanted to plant them to see how they worked out. One, St. Augustine grass that I hadn't grown before called Palmetto, and then a zoysia I hadn't grown before called El Toro. And that's in the members area. The video that was in the members area that covered the fences that we designed and built at our place is now in the public part of YouTube. So you can go there, and even if you're not a member, and see all of that stuff. So we're changing things around a little bit. Some new Yoga Mike's been in town. He's been out of town traveling for quite a while. He's been back in town. We've been shooting a few new things and moving some stuff around on the website, and so we'll try to tell you about all that. If you go to dirtdoctor.com, you can track it down pretty easily there. The telephone number to be with me on the show is same as always, one number only that you need. It's 1-866-444-3478. This first hour is brought to you, as always, by Victor Pet Foods. VictorDogFood.com is the website. Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, VictorDogFood.com. Great stuff. They have a grain-free line of products that I'm extremely fond of, but everything they make I'm fond of because there's no wheat, corn, soy, or gluten in any of the Victor products. There's no toxic chemical preservatives in anything they make, nothing in their plant that they use there, and that's a big deal. Really like what they're doing. I think you'll like their website, their Facebook page, too, because there's a lot of great photographs of animals there. And speaking of that, they bring us the SPCA event each week, the SPCA report. We try to help the dogs out in Dallas. Excuse me, but wherever you are, you need to keep in mind that the best way to get a pet is from these rescue organizations, and of course in cities across the country you'll find SPCAs and rescue organizations on just about any breed you can think of, probably any breed you can think of. So it's always a great way to go, whether you're looking for a mutt like we always have at our place, or a purebred dog or cat. Good news from last week, Brody was adopted. Thank you for that. And this week it's Rose, very sweet 3-year-old, 42-pound Labrador mix. And she came in because she was rescued from inhumane conditions, not a good thing. She was a little skinny, still is a little bit skinny, needs to gain a little bit of weight, but she's happy and healthy and waiting for a new home. She's very gentle and loves to give you kisses and snuggle up close. She's real pretty. Her picture's on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And you can meet her today down at the Jan Rhys Jones Animal Care Center in Dallas. They're open down there noon to 6, 7 days a week, just west of downtown Dallas. So check her out, Rose. And thanks for helping with Brody and all the other dogs that you've helped with in the past. My tea is pretty good. It is a hibiscus Turk's cap peppermint and honey tea. It's very good, so give it a whirl. I'm starting to get a lot of questions about trees, which is obvious. We're getting into fall. And some people out there think the best time to plant a tree is in the fall. You are correct about that. You can plant any time of the year, though. The trees that are in the garden centers are already dug and above ground and hardened off, whether they're bald and burlapped or in containers. So you can plant trees pretty much any time of the year. Waiting until spring is a common mistake. You don't want to do that because you've got the opportunity to do it right now, which is a better time. It's not the end of the world if you do wait, but it's just not nearly as good a time as now. If you plant your trees in the late summer, early fall, you're going to benefit, your trees are going to benefit, and you will too, from a nice little explosive amount of root growth that happens in the fall. And then there's a certain amount of root growth that happens all through the winter. And the tree gets well established during that time. And then in spring, it takes off like it's been there a while, which it has. But you'll see a lot quicker growth and establishment of your trees and woody plants in general, and a lot of perennials and for that matter, but especially the woody plants, if you get them in now and have that opportunity to go through the wonderful fall season and then, like I said, winter, even if you're in cold climates, there's going to be a little bit of more in the south than in the north, but there's going to be a little bit of root development all through the winter, and then in the spring really take off. If you wait to plant in the spring, they're going to kind of sit there through the first season, and you're really not going to get the same amount of growth and, you know, spurt of root growth and everything, and top growth related to that, until the next season. So it's not the end of the world, but it's just a much better way to go to get it planted. Now, I had a specific question that came in on info@dirtdoctor.com about China berries. What do I think about them? And I'll write that. It'll be a good one to put in our column in the Dallas Morning News, which runs on Thursday. The other thing I noticed when I was looking up what we had, the information on dirtdoctor.com, I don't have any photographs of China berry for some strange reason in the library. We got a ton of them. I don't know what happened there, but that's one of those things that whenever you notice something that we don't have quite right, somebody was giving us some information about some things we had misspelled, which is common when you're working with me. And our antiquated wizard on our website doesn't have spell check, so there'll be some of that on there. But so anything you ever see, from little grammatical mistakes, spelling mistakes, to where we've forgotten or pictures have dropped off the website, which may be the case here, let us know and we'll get those things fixed. And if we've got some subject that hasn't been covered at all, let us know that, because we're adding stuff to the website all the time. Well, anyway, back to this tree called China berry. It's a fascinating tree to me. I kind of like it. It's an introduced tree. Comes from Asia, probably the same kind of areas where crepe myrtles and Japanese maples and various kinds of things that we like that have adapted to our area come from. But the China berry is considered a trash tree by most people, including me. It's a little bit invasive. It pops up in native areas and can crowd out natives and things like that if you let it do that. But on the other hand, for a trash tree, for an introduced tree that has some issues, it's pretty good looking. It has really dark green foliage that's very compound. It's got great big leaves that are divided into all kinds of sections. And that's nice. That's nice texture. The bark is kind of smooth, has an interesting color, and that's kind of nice. It has flowers in the spring that are purple and smell like grape soda, which to most people is nice. And then it has berries, fruit that follow that, that are quite distinctive. But for those of you interested in fall color, maybe the most spectacular part of it's the fall color. The yellow color on chinaberry to knock your eyes out. And a lot of people a lot of times overlook that. They're seeing elms and bodark, and they're seeing ash trees, and they're seeing various things that have yellow color. And some of the most vivid, Mexican buckeye is one of the best for our area here too. But one of the yellow trees, yellow fall color trees that is the most striking is the chinaberry tree. Melia is the genus. You can find a lot of information online, including on our website on dirtdoctor.com. It's in my tree book and in most of the books that I've done, actually. I'm Howard Garrett. Let's talk about trees or anything that's on your mind. The number is 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And there's an open line if you want to jump on right away. I'm going to go to the phones. It's 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Just one more quick thing about Chinaberry. I was talking about it a little bit. Buying one, you may have a little trouble finding them in the garden centers, but I would imagine some of them out there have them. If you look around, once you see what the foliage looks like, you'll be able to spot them easily, and they can be transplanted easily if you do want to have some. And if you kind of keep an eye out on your own property, you may see some popping up here and there. They tend to do that, and that's one of the negatives about it, is that they can become negative. The scientific name of Chinaberry is Amelia zatarac, and it is there's an interesting little quick story I want to tell you about it. I got a call from one of my rancher buddies of some years ago, and he said he had the strangest thing happen. He had a tremendous number, just thousands of dead grasshoppers on his ranch in a real specific place, all around underneath a chinaberry tree. And I got to thinking about it, and I knew that the chinaberry was closely kin to the neem tree, and it's kind of a close cousin, really. And we thought that there had to be something obviously toxic about the tree, because the dead grasshoppers were located so specifically to the tree. I put it on the radio, talked about it in my column to all the listeners and readers and everything, and said, hey, we may have a little clue here about how to have some kind of a homemade pest control. And so different people experimented with it, making teas out of the fruit and out of the foliage and out of the bark and out of various things, and using it to spray. We didn't get any results. We didn't get anything to happen at all. So what happened on that ranch probably was that the fruit went to just that perfect point of starting to ferment or whatever, and develop maybe some microorganism that was deadly to the grasshoppers. That's the only thing we could ever figure out, because we could never really reproduce the pesticide power, the killing power, similar to neem by using the chinaberry. We had hoped that it would be an easy thing to do, because neem you can't grow in Dallas, Texas, or in our zone, but chinaberry you can. So anyway, if anybody else tried that and had any good results that we never heard back from, let us know. But we never got any really good results. 866-444-3478. First up is Mike in Dickinson, Texas. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Howard. I just wanted to tell you I certainly miss your radio program down here in the Houston-Galveston area.
Yeah, it's been really funny. We're on in over 200 places across the country, and for some reason the Houston area has been a black hole for us. We need to get that fixed somehow or another. In the meantime, you got the app, and you can listen to the podcast on the computer.
Fourth largest city in the country. Ought to be down here.
I know it. I agree with you. We'll get there one way or another here.
Good deal. My St. Augustine lawn is just eat up with what I believe to be take-all patch. It just got away from me. I thought it was a little lack of water for a while, and then, with this heat we've been having down here the last, two or three weeks ago, it was just really hot. But now it's just, the lawn is just in a really, really bad shape. Now, I've been roaming around your website and, found the, what your suggestion under your library section or the explanation of the take-all patch problem. But I was wondering if you might just run me through real quick what I should do to restore, get rid of the brown patch, and also do some winter preparation for the lawn.
Sure. Give me a little bit more detail. You have shady conditions, full sun. What are we dealing with there?
Mostly full sun.
Okay. Irrigation system or?
No, it's watering. I do have the sprinkler system set up on timers, but it's not an complete yard irrigation system.
And y'all have had pretty good rain off and on.
The last 2 weeks we have. Prior to that, it was really dry.
Had a long dry period.
Yeah.
Okay. Take-all patch is an interesting disease. First of all, I'm not sure that any of the experts yet totally agree on exactly what it is. It's almost like damping off when you're growing seedlings, and they just kind of wilt over and everything. What that is a mixture of diseases. It's Pythium and Phytophthora and Rhizoctonia and various Fusarium, various kinds of things mixed together that attack the little seedlings. And take-all patch may be similar to that. We're dealing primarily with some kind of fungal something, though. And the chemical guys, as you probably know, recommend peat moss. That got started because peat moss gave some universities, including A&M, some money for research on that specific thing. They did see some results, and they said that the reason for seeing some results was that the peat moss lowered the pH. Well, as you know, I don't recommend peat moss for anything except for storing bulbs and things that you don't want to rot. It's antimicrobial. So it lowering the pH, if that is what helped with it, you can do that a lot cheaper by using vinegar, putting an ounce of vinegar in water, or putting out the Garrett juice spray all over the place and lowering the pH a little bit. Mike, can you hang on a little bit? We're going to have to take a break, and we'll go into more detail about take-all patch when I come back, okay?
Sure can.
Okay, Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number to be with us is 866-444-3478. Somebody called in about using molasses right now. I'll talk about that as well. Don't go away. I'll be back after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow Composted Cow Manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and Mike has been patiently on hold, I believe. You still there, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Talking about take-all patch, again, what I was saying there is that if the reason peat moss does seem to give take-all patch some degree of control, it's because of the lowering of the pH, and that's what is admitted and talked about by the people that recommended. So if you think that that's a good way to go, and it may be, vinegar is a much less expensive way to lower the pH. You can rip the pH down as low as you want to with vinegar, and if you don't overuse it, it's nothing but beneficial and has fertilizer value and the whole thing. What we've always said is that better than peat moss, compost should be used. The fall is the absolute best time of all to put out a half-inch layer of compost. So that'd be probably the first thing I'd recommend to you, Mike, to do. And you have some good quality compost companies down there in Houston. My friend that's a co-author with me on the management, the commercial professional management book on organics is John Ferguson, and his composting operation down there He's up in the northern part of Houston. It'd be a strong suggestion about where to get a good quality compost. Nature's Way, I believe, is the name of it. And the second thing I would do would be to spray Garrett juice on the whole property with a little bit of extra vinegar, apple cider vinegar added to the spray. Now, if areas are completely dead, you may have to go in there and replant some of the areas. But if you just have some discoloration and it hadn't really taken out the grass yet, and if that's really what it is, it should come back without any problem at all. Now, the other thing that has antifungal capabilities, there's quite a few things that we do. You know, we use milk diluted at a half a cup to a cup per gallon of water. That's antifungal. The cornmeal juice, a cup of cornmeal soaked in 5 gallons of water, strain the solids out and spray that. That has antifungal power. And the biowash product or any good fatty acid type product will have it that ability to a degree as well. They can be sprayed by themselves, or they can be mixed in with the Garrett juice, either one.
Howard, as far as using the vinegar process, is that something you can use? Is it a pump-up sprayer normally, or a hose sprayer, or what's the most effective way to
The spraying device is very important, and if you've listened to me at all, you may have heard me already mention that I don't like the hose-end sprayers. And the reason is, when you use a hose-end sprayer to apply compost tea or Garrett juice or some kind of an insect or disease control product, you are depending on that cheap piece of plastic to mix the mix for you. And you can be going along and spraying, and you might notice, and I've done this, I've learned the hard way, you can notice that it's not pulling the material up and nothing's going out but water. And if that's the case, you've just ruined your whole spray program. You know, it's not any good at all. So what you do use in smaller areas, you use pump-up sprayers, you know, 1 to 3 gallon pump-up sprayers. In little larger areas, I was talking to Bob Webster about this the last several weeks. We've been discussing it when I visit with him on his show. And that is the trombone sprayer that we used to recommend and use all the time. For whatever reason, the manufacturer that made it is not making it, and it's not easy to find out there anymore. If you can find trombone sprayers in any of the nurseries, I'd recommend that you get one. What it is it has a device that's brass that moves back and forth like a pump-up shotgun, and has a rubber tube that goes over with a weight on the end of it that you put in a 5 gallon bucket of material that you've mixed up. So, in other words, the pump-up sprayer or the trombone sprayer both have everything that comes out of that nozzle, the mixture that you mixed, that you intend to go out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no guessing about what the device is putting together for you. And then the next step up would be backpack sprayers. My backpack sprayer that I use probably cost $140 or something like that, and it will hold quite a bit of material, and you can spray a large area by walking around and simply pumping the device, you know, the handle on the device. There are several out there on the market, and the price ranges quite a bit. And then the next step up is a power sprayer, you know, it's run by either an electric motor or gasoline engine, and they go up to, you know, multiple thousand dollar pieces of gear. And that's what the landscape contractors and the nurseries would use if they came over to spray your place.
I've got a good pump-up sprayer, so could you tell me exactly the vinegar mixture? Is it apple vinegar, and is it used full strength, or?
Well, apple cider vinegar going out for lowering the pH, I would put in about 2 ounces per gallon of spray. 2 ounces of apple cider vinegar per gallon of spray. Now, if you're using the Garrett juice mixture, whether it's commercial mixture or your own homemade mixture, it's got 1 ounce of apple cider vinegar in it already. you know, that's part of the formula. So if you use it, start with a Garrett juice mixture, you just add one more ounce of apple cider vinegar to the mixture, and that's enough vinegar to where it's going to affect the pH. You can check it, test it in the beginning, and then test it after the spraying and see how much it changed it. And if it didn't change it as much as you want, you can do some more. The only negative about apple cider vinegar would be if you use so much, you'd take the pH down so low, down below, you know, 4 or something like that, and that's going to lock up nutrients being available and cause a problem on the other end of the spectrum. And if you mixed it too strong, I guess you could even burn plants. In fact, you probably could. So try to stay in that 2 ounces per gallon. Put out some compost, good quality compost, and I think you'll see the take-all patch be brought back under control.
Okay. As far as a fall and winter feeding, molasses, or what's your pleasure there?
Well, somebody asked me that question and couldn't hold too. Fall application of dry molasses is an excellent thing to do, especially if you haven't done any during the season. If you haven't done any organic fertilizer, you can put out dry molasses as the fertilizer. You can put out one of the blend products that has molasses and alfalfa and feather meal and those kind of ingredients in it, and have even more horsepower. And the best time to do that's right now. That'll help you with the take-all patch as well. Put it out at 20 pounds, more or less, 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Okay, very good. Hope I can get control of this and get on back on track.
Get to work. It's the perfect time to do it.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate your show.
Thank you for calling.
You bet. Bye.
See you later, Mike. It's Sandy's turn in Joshua now. Hi, Sandy.
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, working in the yard. Well, first I wanted to comment on your cherry trees.
Uh-huh.
I have China berries in my backyard, and I have no grasshoppers anywhere around them.
Interesting. Okay.
And I didn't even realize it until I was listening, and I don't. Well, Everywhere else, but not underneath the China berries.
Well, maybe that's the key. It's the whole chemistry of the entire tree that does it, and that's why people didn't see any results when they took the fruit or the foliage and made a tea and just sprayed that. Maybe the tree itself with all of its parts is what repels and or kills the grasshoppers. Interesting.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that. Now I'm looking at all these berries thinking, do I need to start picking them?
Well, like I said, we had some people really seriously try to use the berries in a tea and spray that tea, and they did not get any results that they noticed from that. Maybe they got some long-term results that they didn't notice for whatever reason, but they didn't get any quick knockdown or insect killing power from that at all.
Right. Well, there hasn't been any grasshoppers now that it's brought to my attention around this area, probably, 1,000 square feet in 30 years.
Wow. Okay. So, that's a good tip for people to keep an eye out for.
Now, is a China berry the same thing as a soap berry?
No, but they're similar, and a lot of people get them mixed up. The soap berry is a native Texas tree.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It's a little smaller growing ultimately. It has kind of a light, exfoliating, flaky kind of a bark. It has very, very similar fruit on it. So that's what confuses people. And the foliage, the texture of the foliage is quite similar. The flowers in the spring are kind of an off-white instead of the purple, and they're not nearly as spectacular. Soapberry doesn't live quite as long and doesn't get quite as big as I've seen China berries get, but they do have a lot of characteristics that are similar.
Now I'm wondering what I have. I might have soapberry.
Well, the soapberry berries and the soapberry tree may do the same thing. We don't have good pictures of China berry on our website, which I've mentioned earlier, but I think we do have good pictures of soapberry. So go in there and to the library of the website and check it out. Also in my tree books, there's pictures of both of them, and you can see them there.
Okay, yeah, because these are definitely native. They were They were there before I was.
So. Well, they're probably soapberry then.
Okay. But my original question was, is there a quick fix to getting rid of wild onion? Or do I have to get down on my hands and knees and dig every little bulb out?
Well, if they truly are wild onions, yeah, there's one quick way, and that's dig them up and use them in salads and eat them. They're edible. You have to be careful because there is a, you probably already know this, but there is a plant that's similar to wild onions. It's called crow poison, and it's not edible. We have good information about how to tell the difference in the books and the herb book and the on the website and all that. Basically, if it doesn't smell like onions, it's probably crow poison. Crow poison doesn't have that telltale fragrance at all.
Yeah, well, these definitely smell like onions, and I think I planted them there years ago and didn't realize they would spread so.
Well, Sandy, we had them in our house pretty badly, pretty thick in the backyard, and mm-hmm. we got rid of them. I got rid of them by just tender, loving care. They didn't like the compost and organic fertilizers and lava sand and all that, and they just kind of slowly faded out over time. That's what I would recommend, and do some physical removal of the worst spots.
Okay.
All right. Well, let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back after this. 866-444-3478. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor, Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth:
Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Let's go to Colorado Springs and talk to Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
Good morning. I believe what you've been saying about transplanting trees or planting trees at this time of the year. However, I'm having a disagreement with a landscaper up in the mountains. I have a house just under 10,000 elevation. It's behind Pike's Peak. And I have 6 or 8 beautiful blue spruce that need to be transferred to another spot. They've come up voluntarily from 2 enormous blue spruce I have behind the house, and they need to be transplanted elsewhere. He wants to wait until next spring. And I heard what you just said in the opening of your program today. What shall I say, and how can I convince him?
I don't know the answer to that, Joyce. Even in cold weather, I still recommend the fall planting, and especially early fall, like we're still in. I was talking to one of my golf buddies yesterday. It's in Colorado, and he was showing me the aspen are in full, beautiful color right now. So you're probably in the same situation. I don't think it would be a problem at all. How you would convince him of that, I don't know. And I guess if you're going to have to work with that person or somebody else that's saying the same thing and you want to get along with them and have them stand behind their work, you need to wait and go with what they recommend. But
I think that is a really amazing climate there, even though it's just under, it's 9,090 or something.
Yeah, that's high.
Elevation. But we have very little snow. It's really amazing. We have a lot of wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather is not as cold as people imagine. My mother-in-law was a New York City woman, and she always thought we were snowed under all winter long. We're not. But we often are colder down here in Colorado Springs than we are up there. But I think we'd have some moisture from the snow, obviously. And it makes sense to me. So would I just tell him to soak them just like I would down here in water with Garrett juice?
Yeah, a little bit of garret juice will act as a root stimulator, and I think that'd be fine. Why don't you try this? Try to move some of the smaller ones. Get him to say, well, look, let's just do a test. Let's move one or two of the smaller ones now, and then wait and do what you want to do in the spring, and let's see what difference it makes, and go that route. And maybe that'll be a good way to get him to be a little bit more open-minded when he sees that it will work fine.
That's an excellent idea. I think that's.
Let's do that and take some pictures and keep us posted and in the loop on this deal. And this will be a good learning experience for everybody. And if there is some reason where it just flat won't work, you know, we'll learn about that too. Don't think that's going to be the case, though.
I have one real consideration up there. This house is at the top of a mountain. For that area, it's the top residence, I think, there. And it is built on pure granite.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime when I had various services added or changed last year, they had a horrible time coming up to code. They can't drop gas lines down as low as the state law says. They can't do a lot of things because of granite. He may have to, I don't know what he's going to have to do, in order to get these trees into some ground. I don't know what's back there.
Well, that's a whole different issue there, obviously. No matter when you do it, it's going to be something that you'll have to deal with, bringing some new soil in or finding some pockets of soil or breaking out the rock and, you know, creating a soil area. The trees are going to need some soil.
I wouldn't mind at all if he added a berm of some sort there, added some soil, because the reason I'm having the trees transferred back there is the view is not pretty there. It's beautiful somewhere else, but not right there. So I think I'll try what you said, and I'll advocate for maybe some added dirt, and we'll go from there.
Let's give it a try. Keep me posted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. One thing that I was going to bring up and didn't get around to, I need to say real quick, fall color trip is on my mind, and we were discussing, Judy and I were talking about possibly taking a few days and running up through Arkansas, maybe not all the way up to the northeast, but at least through Arkansas, because there's a museum there I'd like to see anyway. I've heard great things about, called Crystal Bridges. And so if anybody is in that area that has any tips about what would be the best timing on that, what would be good places to stay on that kind of a trip, let me know. info@dirtdoctor.com, or you can call on the show, either one. I wanted to get a little bit of fall color trip in this year, and that's not that far away from us, and so we were kicking that around a little bit. Mike has a comment in Arizona, Mayor of Arizona, about the China berry. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. We had... When I was growing up in San Antonio, we had China berry trees in the yard. And the thing they always told us as kids was that they were poison. And Dad used to talk about that, stuff a burlap bag with them and mash it up, go fishing.
Go fishing?
Yep.
Really? Well, see, that would tie into neem, too. Neem is sometimes used, kind of like rotenone used to be used, although rotenone is way too toxic. To stun the fish and, you know, clean out trash fish from a lake. So that's another kind of indication that there may be a similar chemistry to the neem tree.
Yep.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
Okay, take care.
Okay. Margaret, we're about out of time. I have grown Kentucky coffee tree in Dallas, and there's some growing around, and that's about all I know about it. You want to hang on?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's talk about more when I come back. I'm Howard Garrett. We'll talk about coffee trees and other kind of trees and fall color and anything you'd like to discuss. Number's 866-444-3478.